a quick understanding of a few scriptures. One of them in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, or a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. You know, today has been an opportunity for us as folks have come together. They've been able to share what God's been working in their lives, and we have a chance to enter into that with them and to be part of the fellowship with them, be part of the family with them. It isn't an interruption of our schedule. It's part of who we are as a family, and this is a fairly intimate family time, and I think it's phenomenal, just sort of Lupians, what God is doing, how He's faithfully working and ministering through their lives, and even how that church is such an example of where they'd be fitted towards. It just to us is an amazing thing to look at that. Looking at the Hunts and their faith of stepping out to where God's called them without having all those checks in the boxes filled out where they would want to be. God's at work in that kind of faith. And even Diane, in your faith, as God is working with you through this hard and arduous time in your life. But to me, this is a day when we're sharing together about the faith that we have. And that faith is alive. And I just want to take the time this morning to have us walk through some verses out of Romans chapter 5. I think as the Spirit's leading, it will be good for us to really understand how those apply to us, even as we go through this time of sharing, rejoicing with those who rejoice, mourning with those who mourn. But it's a chance for us today to be thinking about how that faith is really worked out. So in Romans chapter 5, the first verse reminds us, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, and we go back into that relationship we have through God, with God, through His Son Jesus Christ, that because of what Christ did on the cross, we have been justified. We have been presented to the Father without sin because Jesus paid the price for that sin on the cross. And we've been justified by faith. He gives us the faith to believe and trust completely and entirely in what He did. If you think about all the details we work out through our lives, all of those are smaller in comparison to what He's promised us in eternity. And by faith, He works through the details of our lives, with the movings around, with the comings, the goings, with the comforting. He works through faith with those, but He also gives us that faith of knowing that because of what Jesus did, not because of what we do, we have the opportunity to look forward to heaven. It's at the end of verse 1, it says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That all of that enmity, all of that wrath has been dealt in because of our trust in the incarnate Christ that came to this earth, the Christ who lived a sinless life, the Christ who was crucified on the cross, resurrected, and was raised into heaven. And because of that, we can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, even in times of trial, even in times of trouble, even in times of uncertainty, even in all the things that we're working through in this life, we can always have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that will go through everything in our lives. Verse 2, through Him, through Jesus, we've also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We do stand in grace. Everything we have is not what we deserve. It's what God's given to us. It's what's overflowed from His love for us into who we are. And because of that, we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Verse 3, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through His Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Just out of all the things we're going through, and we certainly stand along with Diane and her family as they're going through some very concrete sufferings. But all of our trials, all of our struggles that we're working through, even the struggle of just getting that car packed and putting everything up in Vermont, these things that we're going through, all of that's going to be producing endurance. All that endurance is going to be producing character. And ultimately, it all results in hope. And this isn't the hope of the wishful thinking of, I hope I win the lottery. This is that full, confident trust that we have in what God is doing through His Son, Jesus. It doesn't put us to shame because God's love is into our hearts and the Holy Spirit has been given to us. So in this, our faith, the result of our faith is that we have this tremendous hope and who God is, and what He's done. Verse 6 reminds us that this isn't because of how we achieved our own salvation, but that while we're still weak, while we were still sinners, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for us. And there's a reminder that scarcely will a person die for a righteous person, but Jesus died for us. He died for us while we were still sinners. And I just think out of all the things we come together as a family, as we look at how God's uniting us, as Christ being the head, as God is doing the work through the Holy Spirit in this body, for us to remember that we have been justified by faith. We've been drawn together because each one of us is walking in those steps of faith, and He would bring us together as the church in this place at this time for His glory. And look at what else it says about this. In verse number 9, since we've been justified by His blood, we're more saved by Him from the wrath of God. We don't need to fear condemnation. We don't need to fear hell. We know we can trust in what God has in front of us. I really like down in verse number 11, more than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. Everything that's been against God, all of our rebellion, everything against Him, we've been justified by faith so that now we can be part of His kingdom. We can be part of what He's doing. Everything we're doing, the Hunts moving, the Lupians moving, all the changes that go on in the body, all of those things are extensions of what God will be doing in His world. And we need to see it as that. But now let me get I want to get down through verse 15. So let me just read verse 12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. We know our state. Verse 13, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin was not yet counted where there was no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who were sinning, was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the thing to come. So we know that all of us in this world, were under the penalty of death for sin. And the example of Adam was one who was meant to come. When Adam came originally as the first man, Jesus came as the new man. And verse 15 tells us that the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, through Adam's sin, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. I think we need to just pause and recognize that. It's the free gift of grace from Jesus Christ that has abounded for us. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are the recipients of that free gift of grace. And Craig and Doug know how much I've been stuck up on this one word, abounded. When you think about that, His grace abounding for us, it's like, I've used the word in the last couple of weeks, this percolating, this bubbling up, this overflowing, this can't be contained. You think about when you're making macaroni and cheese and you put the noodles into the water, what happens if you aren't careful? It just comes all over the entire stove, right? You just can't contain it, right? That bubbling up. When you think about the grace of Christ, how much greater is that? That it abounds, that it is going, it's all over the place and you can't restrain it. And I think as a people, as we look at how we use the gifts He's given us, as we look at who we are as a people, that same grace is flowing through us. The same grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is abounding through us. We have an unlimited source. And we have an unlimited God who has an unlimited purpose to glorify Himself. And He's going to choose to do it through His people. And it's not going to be something that can be stopped by the world. I just think as we look at our time this morning, this special fellowship time that God's given to us, it's an opportunity for those with their gifts, with their testimonies, with their hymns, with their sharing, to come together and to be allowed to have that grace bubble up and bubble out over into the rest of the body. And we need to be encouraged by that. And I would just challenge you as you work through this next week that God's grace is going to be abounding on you. God's grace through Jesus Christ, if you're a follower in Jesus, His grace is going to be abounding on you. It's going to be overpouring onto you. And the question is, how is He calling you to have that grace overflow into those that are around you? How is He calling you as a steward of His grace? We'll talk more about that next week. But how is He calling you this week as a steward of His grace to have that grace bubble up from you, from your relationship with Him, and to flow through in your relationship with others? I believe it's how He works through the world. I believe it's how He works through the church. And I believe we've had some great opportunities as a family today to just see how he's been working faithfully through the lives of those who've been justified by faith. And it's all because of his good and loving nature towards us. So, with that, very much an abbreviated message, but I think a good challenge for us as we go through this week. Let me go ahead and close this off in prayer this time, and then Doug will lead us in a final song. Father, I just can't help but to be overwhelmed at the grace you've given to us through your Son, Jesus. I think of the report that you've given to us with the Lupians. It's just a small example of how faithful you are in moving your people and using them to do your work. Father, I think of how faithfully you've been working through the Hunts. And I pray even as they're looking at these next steps of faith, not knowing where they're ending up, that you be growing and developing your kingdom because of that. And Father, we stand alongside Diane as you're building her faith in hard ways, as you're doing the work of comforting her in her suffering. But Father, you're not surprised by where she is this week. You're not surprised by how she's interacting with her family. You know these things, and you love her, and you love her in the midst of it and through it, and you love her family as well. Father, I pray that we as your people would be known, even as that definition that was read in that letter from Vermont, would be known as the people that take that love that we've been received, and that we pass that love on. I pray that we'd be a people that are known for doing the things you've called us to do, not to keep us busy, but Father, because we just can't help ourselves when it comes to being overflowed with that grace. Father, I pray that your grace would abound in your people this week, that as we face the trials and temptations and the opportunities to sin, that we would come to you first, and that we would trust and rely upon you, that we would see how your hand is at work in our lives. And Father, even those around us, especially those that don't have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, those who are looking towards that wrath, I pray, Father, you give us opportunities to share and to testify of how you've saved us and how great and loving you are. And Father, I even think about those, the extensions of this church, those in the body that are ministering overseas. I pray that as your grace abounds on them in these dark places where in some cases the person they meet will only hear the word of Jesus for the first time from them. Father, I pray that your grace would abound, that they would have full wisdom. They would be able to demonstrate your grace. They'd be able to testify to your love. And Father, they'd be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you that you've called us into your body. Thank you it's for your purpose. Father, we thank you that your desire to fellowship with us is even greater than our desire to fellowship with you. We thank you for that in your Son's name. Amen.